Excuse me.
449-8686.
Didn't know the mic was hot.
Ben.
All right, Phil Hendry Show. And now it's time for Phil's annual list of most overrated magazines in the world. And actually, there's only one, Sports Illustrated. Yes, Sports Illustrated, the magazine that brings us stat after stat, list after list, in-depth story after in-depth story. Will you guys please allow me to decide what it is that I like about sports in terms of the most embarrassing moments or the most popular moments? Why don't you guys just go out of business? That'd be a real big lift off the shoulders of most of us sports fans who just want to sit there and watch the game without having you, Bob Costas, and every other self-indulgent, self-important commentator on the scene tell me what's important about sports. What's boring about sports? What's boring about sports is Sports Illustrated and Bob Costas, then Al Michaels, and I'll decide about Lisa Guerrero later on after I get a look at her legs. But I think that she's probably going to be on the list, too. I'm just kidding about the leg line, I think, aren't I? Look, here's the thing about sports. If you care about it at all, and if you don't, it's fine with me. If you don't, that's good, fine. But if you care about sports at all, sports really is just a series of snapshots. It's just a series of moments that you remember. If you're a sports fan, like I'm a sports fan, I can close my eyes right now, and I can see moments. Oh, what is that, Mr. Costas? What are you telling me? I can see Roger Maris, Jack Apple number 60 at a Yankee Stadium. No, I can't see that. I didn't see it, so why would I care? I was 8. No, I can't see that. You want to know what I see? I see a Denver Bronco wide receiver on his belly sliding through 30 yards of mud into the end zone for a touchdown. I don't know who the guy was, and I don't know who they were playing. I know it was before Denver was in Mile High. It was at Bears Stadium. That's what I see. Greatest touchdown grab I ever saw in my life with some Denver Bronco wide receiver that I can't even tell you who the guy is on a rainy day on a sloppy crap can field at Bears Stadium, Denver, catching a touchdown pass, caught it at the 30, fell down and slid on his belly all the way into the end zone. It was the greatest thing I ever saw in my life. I don't know who the guy was. I don't know who the quarterback was that threw it. That's what I remember, and that's all I care about, and that's it. And what's happened to the modern day of sports, it's mind-boggling. It's stunning. It's been taken over by people that really don't like sports at all, I think. I think it's been taken over by clowns who think that there's an avenue toward fame somehow. Like, for instance, the best damn sports show, period. There's a great example of a show that, A, isn't funny, B, is not informative. I mean, I hate to break the news to you guys, but you're not funny. Can I just be the first guy to tell you this, Mr. Arnold? You're not funny at all. Your show ain't funny. You ain't funny. And you cats don't really talk anything that I recognize. No sport. And what are you doing, Sally? Remember you used to, like, be a professional basketball player? What are you, a big, tall clown now? Are you the big, tall janitor clown that they hire over there? What are you doing? They got Tom Arnold, who is a comedian. And they have John Sally, who used to play for the Pistons and was a pretty decent ball player. I think he had a little stretch with the Lakers. I don't know, and I don't care. Because when you put an athlete in front of a microphone, man, brother, you better keep me out of the room. Because if I'm armed, the safety comes off that revolver. Anyway, all kidding aside, sports is just that. It's just a series of moments. And if they're great, you go back. And if they're not, you don't go back. For instance, Barry Bonds, I don't remember one home run he ever hit. Why? Because I'm not a San Francisco Giant fan. And why am I not a San Francisco Giant fan? Because I was born and raised in Los Angeles. So why would I care what Barry Bonds does? I hope the freaking guy drowns the next time he hits one out there into McCovey Bay. I hope he runs out and tries to grab it himself, along with all the other stuff he's trying to grab. Why would I care about Barry Bonds? I'm a Dodger fan. The Giants, they could all die from SARS tomorrow, and it wouldn't matter to me at all. They could all just have an influx of Chinese, just a bunch of Chinamen coming in there at San Francisco Airport. Yeah, which way to the downtown Pacville ballpark? Oh, sorry, Giants. You better check that Chinatown out, man. By the way, I'm on KNEW in the San Francisco Bay Area. You fans up there, hope you're enjoying the show. So why would I care? It's just moments, just snapshots in time. It's not your list of the greatest players that ever couldn't have not have been, might have, maybe could have, should have, would have. These guys over at Sports Illustrated, here's their idea of sports analysis. Well, you can't really call Namath a great quarterback because he only won one Super Bowl, and quite frankly, he was a so-so with a 50.1 completion percentage. Now, on the other hand, Dick Night Train Lane, what are you talking to me about? I only care about seeing Namath beating the Colts. That's all anybody cares about. And I don't care how many money store commercials that he did, and I don't care how they call him. What do they call this guy? Phil Rizzuto, the rat sucker or something. Phil Rizzuto, the Yankees. You know who I'm talking about? He does the play-by-play. What a spinner, scooter, skipper, scooter, scooter. You'd think the guy was four. Hi, everybody. This is Scooter, Phil Rizzuto. He's like four. But he wasn't a great ball player. Phil Rizzuto wasn't a great ball player. But who cares whether he was a great ball player or not? He played for the Yankees, whatever the hell. Lynn Swann, fine. He caught a couple of TD. I don't care, man. You guys keep coming out with these lists of the most embarrassing this and the greatest that. Boy, I'll tell you. And now what's going on in baseball is they're trying to reclaim some semblance of humanity. You know, the Angels out here in California have got a new owner, and they say he's a pretty decent guy. He's lowered the price of tickets, and he's lowered the price of concessions, and he goes out and he meets the fans, and everybody's in love with him. And you read the sports writers, they think he's the greatest thing since canned beer. But how long do you think it's going to be lasting that this guy's got the ticket prices lowered? He starts getting a look at the bill, man. He's going to jack those prices right back up where they were, if not higher. But they got a family feel, blah, blah, blah. If ever there was a sport that didn't need corporate ownership, it's baseball. If ever there's a sport that absolutely tries to sell itself as the one man, one bat, a spring day, the crack of the bat, the crack of the plumber's ass, and you're off to the races. If there's ever a sport was trying to sell itself as, yeah, man, just get myself a cold beer and pull up the old radio, it's baseball. Well, it ain't that. Not when Fox and Disney are involved. Now, what you guys ought to invest in are football teams. I like corporate ownership of football teams because football is corporate. It's militaristic. It is a sport that is it's a race of drones, and I like it like that. I like them getting out there all in the game. They have a playbook. Everybody's got to do the same thing, or you don't do it, you don't win. What am I trying to say here anyway? I guess what I'm trying to say is I hate Al Michaels. All right, now, our number's 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget. Coming up on Friday, the top 100 calls of the year, the Phil Hendry Show, our second annual top 100 calls of the year, featuring the best calls to our radio show. And when you talk about great calls, there's only one show that actually has them. It's our show. We don't have any clones with their takes, you know, scribbling down their thoughts and then reading it over the phone. We don't have the setup callers who call in with the names of Baba Booey or the cab driver or the dwarf. We don't have our regulars like Peppermint Patty or these other I just said the AH word, so I had Ben dump me. We don't have any of that on this show. All we have are good, clean calls with a lot of good, clean people getting their good, clean asses kicked. So, coming up on Friday, did you dump that? Okay. You're looking over there, man, like it ain't working. Ben's looking over at the, he's looking at the delay like, man, I hope I did it right, because Mr. Henry going to kick my ass out of the show. Did you do it right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, what are you looking at it for, man? You're making me nervous.
Weird.
It looks weird, yeah. Sure it looks weird. It's a bunch of lights and buttons. You're the engineer. What do you mean it's weird? What do I got here anyway? I got some guy that just got off the space capsule. He's the first dude they shot into space. They call him Hank the Chimp. Hey, it's weird. Well, you're supposed to know what it looks like. You're the guy driving this thing. Look at this cat. He's like, there's all these buttons and stuff. Yeah, you're an engineer. You're supposed to understand all the buttons. Oh, yeah, it's lights and everything. Anyway, on Friday, it's going to be starting at 4 o'clock Pacific all the way to 7 o'clock Pacific. And that is our top 100 calls of the year. And you won't want to miss that because just classics. Solid classics up and down the line. Three solid hours of fun on the 4th of July. So just before you, maybe while you're cranking the barbecue up, and just before you hit the fireworks, just get a good buzz on with our top 100 calls. I recommend our top 100 calls of the year, a six-pack of Mike's Hard Lemonade, some sparklers, and nothing else, no clothing. And I'm telling you, friend, You don't know what living is until you experience that. Coming up on Friday here on The Phil Henry Show, our number is 1-800-449-8686. On our show today, Bobby Dooley from the Parent Teachers Organization of Western Estates to try to explain the Supreme Court's monumental overruling of anti-sodomy laws. And that, along with talking about Mel Gibson's new movie. Apparently, Mel Gibson hates Jews. We're going to look into that. We also have Scott Peterson's attorneys looking into a murder in Colorado where they only found the torso. And these guys are so stupid, they think that's like his murder and this one, the only ones where they only found torsos. Every serial killer in the world, man, only leaves the torso. Only he could just figure that one out. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Joe Bauer of Vancouver sent us a picture of himself wearing a Citizens Auxiliary Police cap. Joe has founded the Canadian Citizens Auxiliary Police. It's a boot saving lives. Now then, well, that's what he said in his email. So can I see the picture of Joe? He's got his hat on. 1-800-449-8686, the number here on the Phil Henry Show. Here's Joe. If you want to go to our website, you won't see it there because we haven't put it up yet. Why would I say go to our website and we haven't? I don't want to put any pictures on that website unless I say. Can we have this one in our scrapbook here of Joe? He has the Western Canadian Citizens Auxiliary Police hat. You can get that on our website at philhenryshow.com. Go to our souvenir store and pick up some stuff. Buy my crap. Citizens Auxiliary Police travel mug, the black and white coffee latte mug. We got our Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt or the set of four Ted's of Beverly Hills shot glasses. And wait till you see what we got coming out for the summer months. The Ted's of Beverly Hills shirt celebrating the opening of the new Ted's of Beverly Hills in Honolulu. It'll be a new Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. It's going to be fantastic. I saw it's in 60% cotton. It's a sage green, kind of a Caribbean green thing. You like that? I think it's great. Then we also have our Phil Henry Show t-shirts. We have our Western Estates Homeowners Association polo shirts and hats and spa robes. It's all there. It's for birthdays, for anniversaries, for the forthcoming 4th of July, whatever you got coming up. Man, when Christmas comes around a block, baby, all of your Christmas shopping can get done in our souvenir store. Just go to www.philhenryshow.com. Speaking of the 4th, you know, here, where do you guys live where they sell fireworks? How many of you cats live in towns where they sell the fireworks and you're able to walk out on your front lawn and explode them? Just give me a call right now. I just want to see, just by looking at the lights blinking on the phone. I'll tell you what, if there's anybody that's got an interesting story about blowing up something on their front lawn, you know, in other words, what I want to know is, where in America are we allowed to celebrate the birth of our nation anymore? See what I'm saying? I'm not talking about going down to the park and watching Roscoe's fireworks display, and he got a license from the city, and he got a license from whoever licenses. Who gave him the license? Who licenses cats with fireworks? I want to know where I'm allowed to go in the United States of America and celebrate my country's birth. I can't do it in L.A. County, California, because there have been so many imbeciles down through the succeeding decades who've blown their faces off, their hands off, their genitals off, that I'm not allowed. Me, Phil Henry, I've got a reasonably intelligent brain. I've got a reasonably good grasp on how to survive. I can't go down to the fireworks stand and get myself a block party, light it, and let it roll underneath my wife's car. I did that one time. I lit a pinwheel. The thing spun right under my car. Nothing happened. It was great. Red Devil, I love you. But in all seriousness, there's a little town up here in Fillmore, in Ventura County called Fillmore, California, and there may be other towns across the country where you can go and you can buy fireworks. And then you can take them and do whatever you want with them. Why? Because you're an American. That's why. Because maybe you have some private property where you're allowed to blast that stuff off. Maybe you know what you're doing. Maybe you're actually one of those few who knows what he's doing with fireworks. If you want my honest opinion, I think most people do. But throw one jackass into the mix, just one. Just one idiot with a stupid kid to just for kicks. Throw in a dumb adult and just for grins, toss in a really stupid kid, and now we don't get to blast any fireworks off anywhere around here. I gotta go because the fire chief don't want this and the fire chief don't want that. The fire chief didn't give a crap before they were illegal. He's just doing what the city council wants him to do. And what's the city council want to do? Well, they want to do whatever it is some worrisome mother wanted because her kid blew his face off with a Red Devil firework once upon a time because the kid was so stupid he was eating Georgia clay. He thought it was tricks. So you can go up here to Fillmore and you can get fireworks. And it's a lot of these stands are I think they're run by different public service organizations, you know what I mean? Like the Kiwanis and the Rotary Club and that kind of deal. And the money they make, they can take and fund the various activities of their organization. And let me tell you what, they got lines around the block up there for the fireworks. Around the block. You go into Fillmore on the 4th of July, just the week preceding 4th of July, it's a blast. And I say that literally, it's a blast. I mean, you can just see one booth after the next going up in flames. I'm joking around. It's fun to go and buy the fireworks. So here's what happens. What we do, every year, we drive up to Fillmore. We go and eat at I Chihuahua's, which is the finest Mexican restaurant probably in Southern California. Oh, God. They got the albondigas soup, you know, the meatball Mexican soup. They got the greatest burrito. They got it all going on there, man. You go, you have a little lunch, you get yourself maybe a bottle of, you know, Dos Equis, little Corona, go across the street, buy yourself a block party, you put that in the car and you go, now I'm going to go and I'm going to celebrate the birth of my country. You remember that song, This Is My Country? But now what do I got to do? I got to hide from the L.A. County fire, I got to hide from the cops. And, of course, you got to hide from your neighbors, lest they get on the phone and squeal into the night like Quislings, you know.
The man next door, I feel you should know, has a block party.
Why is this? What's happened? What's happened to a country where a guy can't go out and light a sparkler? I'll tell you what's happened. The dumbbells have taken over, man, and they're running your life and mine. One of these days, laws will be based upon the intelligence of the individual. In other words, not all laws will apply to all people. Now, we've got a kind of a running start on it with you can't drink under 21. But maybe there's some people under 21 that are capable of drinking. And maybe there's some people over 45 that are incapable of drinking. The laws 200 years, I think, into the future, it's going to take 200 years, 200 years into the future will apply to only the individual case. If the law says no fireworks for idiots, then if you're not an idiot, you can use them. See? And now we got people who are coming out here and tell, what do you mean the Thousand Oaks Mall fireworks display? I don't care about that. I want to light my own fireworks. Every year they say, don't risk a fire, come see theirs. And every year they light the hill on fire out there in Thousand Oaks. Thanks a lot. Not only, I got out to my car and I see big black burn marks on it because the ash, the residual ash debris from those, you know, the 85 billion that they lit off that made the American flag. Yeah, that stuff came down, turned my car into an American flag. God! There's a hill somewhere in Thousand Oaks. I go up every 4th of July weekend. I drink about four margaritas. I go up there and I drop my pants and just spread it for the whole Caneo Valley, man, so they can see it. What? We have to break? 1-800-449-8686. How convenient. You're listening to The Phil Henry Show. Bobby Dooley on today from the Parent Teacher Organization of Western Estates. The anti-sodomy laws have been struck down. It's now legal. And this, according to Bobby, is a boon for women's rights. That's coming up on The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Go to Scotts Bluff, Nebraska. That's where you can buy your own fireworks, set them on fire, and have a ball. That's what I just got. I just found that out. Another guy called from Chaparral, New Mexico. Loxahatchee, Florida. That's where they're having fun. Not here. No, not here at all. No, here you get to go down to the mall, and you get to stand with thousands of other people, and not to mention how much fun it is parking for fireworks displays. Isn't that a lot of fun? Oh, God, I love that. I love parking, carrying the kids, carrying blankets, carrying the food, carrying the drink, going up on a hillside, trying to find a nice place to sit, big fat slob sitting there taking up your space. In other words, I hate people. Takes 3 hours to get out of the lot when it's done. God forbid you should get caught in a mob of pedestrians. There's nothing bolder, there's nothing more arrogant, and there is nothing more destructive than a crowd of pedestrians around one automobile. All of a sudden, pedestrians feel empowered to bang the side of your car. You ever had that happen? You're driving through a crowd of maybe 200 pedestrians, like at the end of a fireworks display, and now they're pounding on your car with their hands? See, that's why I have mounted submachine guns in the front and back of my car, so that when I see a family go by and go, hey, hey, I push a button a la James Bond, presto, no person. No, we don't get to have fireworks anymore, you know, because they're not safe. Excuse me, according to who? Well, the fact is that so many children, whose children? Well, the kid, didn't you hear about the kid that set fire to a whole, yeah, I heard about an idiot kid with an idiot parent. I heard about them. What are you talking to me? I want to set off a firework or two. Now I'm going to go over to Fillmore. I'm going to get a block party. I'm going to stick it on my driveway, and I'm going to set fire to it. Who's going to stop me? L.A. County Fire. Okay. Well, on second thought. Well, come on, guys. Can't you, just for one lousy day? God, I got my kids bugging me. Yesterday they wanted me to get out and take them up to Fillmore. It was 9 million degrees. I don't know how hot it is where you guys are, but out here it's like it's cooking. It's baking. It's shake and bake time. They wanted me to get in the car and drive all the way over there yesterday. And can we light them off? And I told them, yes, you may. Yes, you may. I realize it's a violation of the law, but I want you guys to remember something. Not all people are so stupid that when they buy fireworks, they kill themselves with them, all right? Not everybody's like that. Some people can buy them, follow the directions, use them in a safe and wonderful way, and have a ball. Not everybody is a colossal idiot. But, of course, that's the world we live in today. One clown screws it up for everybody. Am I right or am I wrong? You got it. So anyway, I'll be driving out there. I don't know when the hell. Oh, I think my wife's doing it today. Thanks a lot, honey. By the way, speaking of my wife, never mind. Well, I told her I loved her this morning, and she started crying, you know, when I was being kind of romantic. And she started to cry, which women will do. You know, I said, you know, honey, you mean a lot to me. And she started, the tears started to well up in her eyes. And then she wanted to kiss and hug. And I said, well, I got to get out of here, see. So it was the wrong time for me to say that. I said to her, you know, you mean everything to me, darling. And I was hugging her and kid. I said, okay, so I got to get going. She said, well, what the hell are you doing? You know, so it was kind of half-assed the way I did it. Don't ever do that. Don't tell your wife you love her when you're in a hurry. Okay, so I got to go and bye. All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. Yes, the towns are pouring in. Palmdale, California, Evanstown, Wyoming. It's all legal. Why? Because they love their country out there. Go out to Fillmore, California. Get your fireworks there. Stop at I Chihuahua's. Have a wonderful day with the family. Mexican food and fireworks. What a combination. Now, Dennis Miller is a new voice that's emerging in the re-election campaign of President Bush. And we'll tell you more about that, how Dennis Miller is now a Republican. How do you feel, Rush Limbaugh, that Miller's flying on Air Force One and you ain't? Get a load of that. Miller is on Air Force One and Limbaugh is sitting there playing with, you know, playing with his computer, whatever he does. Sucking a cigar and playing with himself. We'll be back with more on this and other news on The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, guess who's breaking bread with the president? He's riding on Air Force One. He's staying at the White House. He's just butthole buddies with the Prez. And they're just spending time together. You got it. Dennis Miller. No, it ain't Michael Reagan. It ain't Savage. It ain't Limbaugh. It's none of those guys that time and again, sweating and obsequiously braying all the politics of their boy there and all them good, solid Republicans, those day-to-day talk show hosts, those guys that were, you know, those guys that were out there beating the bushes and bringing in the votes and bringing in the people, getting seats, getting the people's asses in the seats and filling the tents. You know, all of those good conservative cats, right? No, it ain't one of them. It's Dennis Miller. See, Miller is an interesting guy. First of all, he's perceived to be sort of an intellectual comic or maybe a satirist along the lines of a Lenny Bruce, which, of course, he isn't, but that's how he's perceived. Now, he was, I suppose, a liberal Democrat. I think he underwent a transformation not unlike the one that I underwent, although his has been far more radical. After 9/11, and with particular regard to the Iraq War, there are some of us who believe that the policy was a correct policy to pursue war in Iraq, and some of us being Democrats, I being one. See, I've never seen a conflict between being a liberal Democrat, if you will, and willing to stand up and kick a little ass for America. I don't understand why that's difficult for people to see. I don't understand why that is an impossibility. But Franklin Roosevelt, who gave us Social Security and every other socialist program under the sun, which frankly I happen to like, and a lot of Republicans are screaming their guts out about protecting. Oh, funny how they love that Social Security, ain't it? Anyway, he kicked ass, as did Harry Truman. Dropped a couple of A-bombs at last count. So what are you talking about? You're a Democrat, but you're questioning the policy in Iraq as being a wise one. Oh, quit playing politics and just get on board for the big win, like the man said. Now, Miller has taken it to an extreme, though. Miller, a guy who had an HBO show, and he had a TV show, and he had a couple of things going on. He's been in a few movies. He's never really found a big mainstream niche. Well, that's showbiz. Sometimes you do, and sometimes you don't. Sometimes you just be whoever it is you are, or sometimes you sort of mutate to find a wider avenue of acceptance. Miller, however, has seemingly decided that he's going to become now the court jester for the Republicans and the right wing in this country. He's now going to be their boy. He's no longer a man who thinks for himself. That's right, you heard me. You got that right, Dennis. That's what I'm saying, baby. You ain't thinking for yourself. You're just going wherever the gravy chain's going, man. You got your big fat tongue sucking up the drippings, man. You're just following along like a dog, a hungry dog. So now he's going to be the boy for the Republicans, and he's going to open all the dinners, and he's going to close them out, and he's going to be the toastmaster, this and that. Dennis Miller. Now, he just raised, I don't know what it was, $3 million at a fundraiser for Bush's reelection. President Bush was quoted as saying, "I spent an amazing couple of hours with Dennis Miller. He keeps you on your toes." Bush remained off stage until after Miller's often caustic comic performance during the fundraiser. And so on and so forth. I thought Limbaugh was the guy. Oh, well, how quickly things change. Dennis Miller isn't any more Republican than anybody else. Maybe there's a few people out there that are opportunistic, I suppose, and are screaming that whole Republican thing. Of course, when it comes to talk radio, everybody is. There isn't a guy on the air that actually believes what he's saying. Not one. Trust me. There's not a one. But here's a guy that's taking it to the ridiculous extreme. Look, Dennis, don't go overboard. So what are you now, a Republican? Is that it? You're getting tied in so tight with these guys now, you're now the new Republican comic? Is that what you are? Boy, I'll tell you, you must be starving. You must be starving. Times must be tough as hell for you to start taking on, wearing this costume, putting this getup on. You're the Republican boy comic, the court jester there for Bush and these guys. You want to know why? It's a smart move. There isn't anybody else doing it. That's why. There's nobody else doing it. It's wide open, and he's taken the opportunity to step there into the breach. He's a stand-up comic. He's comfortable performing live. He can get in front of a big crowd. He can be funny. Miller, unlike Bill Maher, is funny. So that's another thing that he's got in his favor. And the rest of those guys, the Limbaughs, the Savages, all the other guys that tried to get in close, get in tight, kind of get invited to the family functions, you know, get in the family photograph, kind of squeeze in there next to the president and those little photo ops, they're all left standing out in the rain, man. They're standing out back in the back waiting for the apple pie to cool. And maybe they'll just come around and give them sandwiches. You boys just stay around here. I got some wood for you to chop. That's what you guys are. You're just a bunch of wood choppers. Hey, Savage, Limbaugh, what happened to you guys? Now they got Miller. You want to know why? Because Miller brings them in. He puts the asses in the seats. $3 million. So Miller sees that he's got himself a meal ticket. Bush doesn't care whether he sends the Savages and the Limbaughs out there out back so Granny can give them apple pie so they can go split some rails. He doesn't care. What does he care? And now Dennis Miller is a born again, Dennis Miller is a brand spanking new, right off the assembly line, Republican comedian. Well, at least one of those cats that are doing politics are funny, because it sure ain't happening there on the left-hand side of the street. That Maher, Jesus, oh, God. Oh, my God. You know what? You got your feelings hurt, Maher. We understand that. They threw you off of ABC because your show blew. But what do you got to just keep beating that into the ground? Just move on, will you? Move on. I moved on from NBC, not picking up my pilot. So why don't you just move on and be funny again, if you ever were? And we'll have to check the record books on that one. But Miller now, he's the boy. So he's now officially now a conservative. Is that what I'm getting here? In other words, it's not just a decision in terms of conscience and in terms of what the right thing to do was. He's decided that this is the avenue for him. And in the meantime, with that cat jumping on the side of the president, becoming the official court jester, another guy may be pushed out of the job as court jester for the Republicans, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Of course, he could still run for governor of California, so what does he care? Oh, my Lord. You know what's going on? You want to know what's happening? The movie business must be getting a little soft. I don't think there's the money in it that there used to be, because now this guy wants to be the governor of California, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Now, let me tell you something. I met this guy. He came in. You remember when he came in, Janice? This guy Schwarzenegger came in here, and he was talking to some people. He's about 3 feet tall. I'm taller than him. That's the first shock. I'm 6 feet tall. I'm taller than Arnold Schwarzenegger. And then the other thing, I looked at him. I thought, geez, I could kick his ass if I wanted to. I mean, seriously, I'm kidding. I'm sure I sized him up. So you're Arnold Schwarzenegger, huh? Yeah, that's why. You know, I think I could take you, man. What do you think? So he comes in here, and somebody said to him, you should go meet this guy, Phil Henry. That's the only thing that I can imagine happened, because somebody came in and said, Arnold Schwarzenegger would like to meet you. And I thought, well, maybe he's heard the show. Well, the minute I met this cat, he was all teeth, all those big, crooked Austrian teeth. And he's all, yeah, how you doing? And he was sucking on a mint or something, and he had on a big sports jacket that was let out about 18 times. And he had on a pair of Dockers and sort of these little rubber-soled topsiders. And he's got on he's got the prop Rolex watch on. He's like, yeah, how you doing? I said, fine. I thought, well, you listen to the show. He says, okay, good. Keep up the good work. And he turns around and he says, keep up what good work? I suddenly realized that someone said to him, well, go meet Henry. He didn't even know my name, which is fine. I don't care about any of that. I honestly don't. But now I see he's running for governor, so I thought I'd bring it up. He thought I wanted his autograph. That's the thing. I didn't ask him for his autograph. I told him, well, get out, and he did. I said, nice to meet you, Mr. Schwarzenegger. Now get out. I swear to God, someone said to him, go meet Henry. He probably wants your autograph. Now I know who did it. Larry Morgan. That piece of crap. Either him or Silva or Mike Reagan or Jim Rome. One of those five, four, however many there were. It's difficult to tell. I'm always looking at the feet, not the heads. One of them said, Henry wants your autograph, and he came in sucking on a mint and going, yeah, how you doing? Keep up the good work. Waiting for me to ask him, gee, Mr. Schwarzenegger, loved your last movie. What was it again? And then get his autograph, and I didn't ask him for it. So now I understand. That proves that there's people out to get me around here. Mr. Schwarzenegger, with all due respect, sir, you've made some nice movies. I personally loved the first two Terminators. Honest to God, I did. I did not see Conan the Barbarian. I thought True Lies was kind of cool. True Lies is very cool. See, that was when Tom Arnold was in that. But you running for governor, don't do it, man. Don't do it. Our state needs help, okay? Our state needs a serious leader of people, an idea person, okay? Just don't do it, all right? We had the movie actors. We had the Reagan era. George Murphy with the little tap dancing steps and, the throat cancer. And everybody just, venerated the guy. And he didn't do squat. He died from smoking too many cigarettes. I don't know what he did. I knew he could tap dance. He wore some spats and he went to Washington. Just don't do it, Schwarzenegger. Just take yourself right out of the race. Look, I got news for you guys. Davis ain't getting recalled. Whether you want him or whether you don't want, he ain't going to get recalled. It ain't going to happen. It is not going to happen. You got to be dreaming. You have to be smoking some serious, serious bud. I mean, some owl that, is right out of Granny's cellar up there in Humboldt, man. You can't possibly be serious. There's no way in hell that Davis gets recalled. And if you guys, the Republicans, are going to put this guy Schwarzenegger up, oh, my God. Right? You know, the problem with Republicans, every time they get the ball and they're running downfield with it, they drop it. There isn't a time these cats get the ball and they got something rolling on offense that they don't throw an interception. I've never seen a bunch of people blow the good times the way these cats do. Now they're going to throw this guy in? They had that guy Reardon could have won. That was the guy that could have won it for them. No, they had to throw that guy Simon up there. A Bible thumper. Nice move. Guess what? Davis is in. You guys got only yourselves to blame. Only yourselves to blame. And there's only one thing for you to do. Buy my CD. Yes, the Phil Henry Show CD, available at philhenryshow.com. It's only $20, and all the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. So help some kids, help themselves. Maybe you'll be helping a future governor of California, okay? Just quit fooling around with Arnold Schwarzenegger and get with the real people, the people at my friend's place. Buy the Phil Henry Show CD, www.philhenryshow.com, www.philhenryshow.com.
This is the Phil Henry Show.
Well, the last, it's been 10 days, we were out on a cruise with our kids. Now, I'm not familiar with cruises. I've been on two. And it didn't sound like anything that I'd really want to do because my tastes run... I have fairly sedentary tastes unless it's something extraordinary or unusual. Something that I... Like, for instance, for some reason, I like to drive boats fast. I'm not a big motorcycle fan. I'm not necessarily a fast car fan, although I do like watching them race, but I like driving boats. I like to open it up in a boat. I don't know what it is. A motorboat, aqua boat, something like that. Whatever those things are called. The ones that float. Anyway, I say that just to say that I've never been really a big fan of cruises, or so I thought. And this cruise we took our kids on is a Disney cruise. Now... It's fine because it's for kids, and we have a couple of friends at Disney who were very kind to us and made it a wonderful experience. And I know the kids had a great time. We had a nice room, and we went down to Cayman. We went over to Cozumel. We went to Key West. Cozumel, I love it. Mexico, you can't beat Mexico. If you want to go to a country where the people are actually nice to you, go to Mexico. What do you want to go to France for? What do you want to go to Europe for? Why go to the Caribbean? Why not go to a country where the people actually smile and are happy to see you? It's a place called Mexico, and it's right south of the border, baby. It don't cost a lot. You can go down there and have a ball on not a lot of money and get back in time for work Monday morning. What's your problem? No, everybody wants to run off to Europe. Pay the crap prices. Talk to a bunch of snooty jackass frogs or whoever it is you think that you know and appreciate. Oh, we just love Italy. Oh! My wife's going to Spain next week. Get her, the world traveler. Spain. I'd like to go to Spain. They speak Spanish. But Mexico's great, as opposed to the Caribbean, for instance. Go to the Caribbean. I wouldn't give you 5 cents for the Caribbean. I think what they should do with the Bahamas and Jamaica is that should be the next test range for our super hydrogen bomb that we come out with. The next big bomb, drop it on both of them. Because I have never in my life visited two countries more worthless. And when I say worthless, I mean it in every sense of the word, worthless than Jamaica and the Bahamas. First of all, the people have the sourest look on their face you ever seen in your life. They look like they're doing you a big favor, serving you a beer, or getting you a hot dog, or whatever it is you're doing. They got a built-in resentment of tourists because, you know, if it wasn't for all of us colonial bastards, their lives would just be sweet. Oh, and by the way, lest you think it's a racial thing, talk to any African-American that's traveled to Jamaica, and I will tell you this, 90% of them will say the same thing. They get treated worse than the white tourists do. Worse. Not better, worse. You want to know why? Because the black guys down in Jamaica, they figure they got to serve whitey, but there'll be a son of a bitch that's going to sit there and serve up a drink to another black guy. And I'm telling you, that's how it goes. They're rude. Their country is impoverished, and I don't blame myself for that. I'll tell you that right now, because God knows that since 1962, Jamaica's been an independent nation and has opportunity after opportunity to create some kind of a common market with the other Caribbean states, and they've decided they can't do that. They can't even get along with each other. They've got a beautiful country they don't know what to do with. The place stinks. So I recommend it for your next vacation. And by the way, if you go to Montego Bay or Ocho Rios and you stay in those big resorts, what they call a hotel prison down there, you know the ones I'm talking about, where it's a whole bunch of black people walking by and a bunch of white people inside with jet skis, you are dumber than you look staying in that. That all-inclusive bit, yeah, uh-huh, yeah. Tell you what, man, stay home and watch TV. You'll have a way better time. Stay home and watch a travel log on Jamaica. You'll have a way better time. So anyway, I say all of that to say this. Now, after having just dumped on Jamaica and the Bahamas, the whole purpose of this is for me to dump on America, and I want to tell you why. We'll go on this cruise. Now, I'm fat in a middle-aged guy kind of a way. I have my beer gut, and I got my, you know, it's my thing. You know, you get older, man. You get over 40, and you start putting on weight. Before your very eyes, it'll happen. You won't know how it happened. The skinniest people I know are suddenly chubbing out a little bit. I had a girlfriend, I just was talking to her, not now, but an ex-girlfriend who I was talking to several years ago. She hit 40, man. She used to be the skinniest chick in the world. She hit 40, and now she's kind of actually got a, she actually has breasts now. And I think that that's sad, don't you? So anyway, now we get on the cruise. Now I see with my own eyes something that's gradually beginning to irritate me. Every time I turn around, I see a fat pig of a human being. Now, don't tell me I got it already about how, well, that's why people go on cruises, because of the buffets. It was just hold your thought there for a minute, okay? Just listen to what I'm telling you. The people that are coming on board on these cruises are obscenely fat. Now, what I mean by that is the thighs rub together, and the ankle is as wide as the thigh. That's the kind of fat I'm, yeah, see? The disgusting and grotesque kind of fat that should be against the law. Now, what's the major defense of these individuals when you bring up to them that they are so fat they make you gag? Well, here it is. I have a gland problem. It's a glandular problem. It's a hormone problem. Isn't that what you hear? Well, guess what? I caught you in your lie because I was on the cruise with you. And is it just coincidence that you happen to have an ankle as thick as your neck and you like going back to the buffet table six times? Is that just coincidental? So you're telling me that you have a gland problem, but it's also just kind of a coincidence that you dig going back to the dessert table 16 times within a 20-minute period. Is that what you're saying to me? Because I'm not buying it, friend. We got a big problem in this country. I'm telling you, we got a huge problem in this country. We are the fattest, most disgusting race on the face of the earth. Fat and ugly and getting uglier by the minute. And you can watch all of the commercials you want about everybody down at the gym doing a fitness thing. You know, and every TV actress with a new sitcom, Jennifer Garner in Daredevil, which, by the way, I had to sit through that on my way on our way to Orlando. How do I put this delicately? What a bad movie that is, man. Hey, Jennifer, you know, you got a hot body, baby, from the neck down. But I got to tell you something. You look pretty lame in those martial arts scenes, honey. And if I see one more windmill kick in any movie that I go to, any martial arts movie, I'm gonna kill somebody. Hey, Foley, you're luckier than you think. So, here's the deal. Fat and fatter. And then they got one of these nightclubs you go to, right? Now the fat people get out of the dance floor and they're shaking their big asses. And guess what I'm supposed to sit there thinking? This is what I'm supposed to think. Oh, I'm so happy for you that you accept yourself in your own skin. I'm so happy that you're comfortable in your own skin. They're doing line dancing. Their big butts are swinging around. And you know how that line dance thing happened? You know, they're doing that. And there's like three or four or five huge women with one little skinny guy. And the guy, I know what's happening in that relationship. There's three fat women and one guy about the size of, say, you know, like Ben, like your size, Ben, and three huge women. And I know what the situation is. He's the husband of one of the fat women, and he has been browbeaten into submission. Don't you dare judge us on our size. Judge us as women, not as sex objects. And he's all, like, into it. Yes, dear. So while they swing their large asses around the floor without any thought to the safety of others, I said, look like you, Ben. It wasn't you, man. I know. Moving about like elephants in the Serengeti battling for some space at the pond. Asses going back and forth, six axe handles across without any regard to the safety and well-being of the children in the room. I gotta sit there. Hey, you wanna know something? I'm tired of it. I'm sick and tired of it. I'm sick and tired of this. And this whole fat acceptance thing, ladies and gentlemen, I agree 100% that an individual who has some self-control and maybe has some kind of physical malady, I understand, but this is total self-indulgence, and it's obscene. I'll tell you why I think it's obscene. Nowhere else in the world do you see people the size of Americans. Nowhere else. Nowhere else in the world. Not in Europe, not in South America, not in Asia, especially not in Asia. You see tall people and strong people, especially in China. You don't see the kind of obesity that you see here. It is disgusting. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves. But instead, we parade it around like it's the gay pride parade. Like we're fat and proud. And I'm tired of hearing people tell me that I have no right to judge them on their looks or their size. That's not judging somebody on the color of their skin, which they're born with. That's not judging somebody on their gender, which you're born with. That's not judging somebody on their sexual orientation, which you're born with. This is judging somebody slowly on their self-discipline. And I have every right in the world to judge them on that. Big and fat, and then they wear those bathing suits. You ever see the fat lady bathing suits where they have the Janice, you know what I'm talking about, with a little fringe like it's a little dress? Yeah, that's right. That covers the ass perfectly. That's just perfect. Glad you got, and then I'm sitting next to this lady. Everywhere I turned, they were everywhere. So we're on this beach that Disney has for the adults. Thank God. Thank God. And I'm sitting, and that doesn't stop people from trying to get their kids over there, though. And this is the third time we've taken the kids in this thing. And now, because this is the kind of guy I am, I say something. Excuse me. Yeah, I don't think your kids are supposed to be here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they only announced it 500 times.
Well, is it a problem? It's a problem for me. You know, I want to be here and away from the kids. That's why it's here and they're over there, because I don't have to listen to them and I can be here. So get your kid and preferably your big fat ass out of here. So she's sitting there, and she actually said these words. This woman's wearing a black bathing suit with the little fringe thing and the sunglasses and the big straw hat, and she's sucking down some, oh, God, like a smoothie, some disgusting drink. And then I hear her friend waddling down the beach from the other side. She said, "Hi, Sally, how you doing? I get up, but I can't get out of the chair. I'd get up, but I can't get out of the chair," as if it's funny, as if it's something to be proud of, as if it's just, it's wonderful to accept yourself as a cardiac case waiting to happen. Well, I'm here to tell you, it's uncomfortable. And I don't care if you accept yourself. When you sit down next to my wife and me in a coach seat as we're flying with our kids to Orlando, like that fat woman did last Friday, and my wife said not once during the entire five-hour flight was that woman's thigh not touching my wife's leg. Big, and of course, thanks a lot to flight attendant on American Airlines, which I love American. Thank you very much for sitting her next to us. And then while I'm talking to my wife, and you know how you're looking at somebody and you're talking to them and only to them, and the person in the far seat is actually looking and smiling like they want to be in on the conversation, and I'm like, I'm not even talking to you, you tub of guts. I'm talking to my wife. And she's nodding like, oh, yes, I've been through that too. And I'm like, uh-huh, yeah, anyway. She's got that big, big fat smile, and it's uncomfortable. And no, I won't ignore it, and no, I'm not going to let you be that way. I'm going to harass you, and I'm going to hound you. And when I see you on a cruise ship, how dare you? How dare you get on a cruise ship and slop up the free food? When you think of the millions of starving individuals, it's a crime. I mean, I love my country. I love this place. But if there's one crime that we commit, it wasn't the war in Iraq. It's not the Guantanamo prisoners. None of that. That stuff is fine. The crime we commit is stuff in our faces, stuff in our fat asses, until we're throwing away to the tune of $3 billion worth of food every year. Do you know that America throws away $3 billion worth of food every year? Throws away! And by throw away, I don't mean throwing down a garbage can. I mean fatso bellying up to the buffet there, and it's got some name like Pluto's Buffet. I'm walking with my daughter to go to Pinocchio's Hamburger Outlet, and there's just three of the hugest people you ever saw. God. All right, anyway, I weighed myself. I'm 260 this morning. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. I can't do anything about it. I'm not going to solve the problem, but somebody's got to say something about it. I don't care about your gland problem. You haven't got a gland problem. You're a liar. You're a fat slob, and you eat too much. And you stuff your big fat ass on that cruise ship because you know the food is free. Boy, that ought to be a felony. You ought to be put inside for life, you fat slob. God! And then on top of that, on top of everything else, they stuff your big fat ass next to us on the airplane. Yeah, you know, I have a very slow metabolism. Oh, I see. That's why you're on your third helping of that cheesecake. Oh, okay. Well, if you have a slow metabolism, you can't help it, can you? No, I can't. And you should have respect for me. Well, okay, I'll have respect for you. Respect for what? Anyway, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
So that's the last time we do one of those. I mean, with the greatest of respect and loved Disney, great people, but I'm not doing a cruise at all, ever. Again, nothing. There's no other cruise line I have interest in boarding, nothing. I don't want to go on those things with that kind of environment. I got a problem with being around a lot of people in an enclosed environment anyway. We know you can't control, like you could get in the car and drive away. So you either have to stay in your room or you like walk the deck as the kids are in the pool and the all of the people there in the... And, yeah, it's fine. Be comfortable in your body and everything. But, boy, see those people one time at the buffet line, then you got to see them in a bathing suit? It's wild. Not only that, but, like, the kids, they had a fist fight the first day. My sons had a fist fight. You see, ladies and gentlemen, many members of the present-day generation of parents... We've spoiled these kids to death. A lot of kids are doing great. I mean, they're working. I'm just talking about my kids. All of you are responsible for spoiling my kids. They're in a fist fight the first day on this boat. I go next door. I hear these guys. They're in their own room because we got two rooms because naturally they can't sleep with their sister. She's 11. The oldest one's 17. Whatever. You know, they're in their pajamas. Come on. But, okay, that's fine. So I got to go next door. And they're swinging on each other. They're having a fight over something. I don't know what it was. Somebody called someone a dumbass, and then someone slapped somebody. And the next thing you know, they're in a full-scale fist fight. You know, that's it, man. I'm putting these guys to work. And then, packing clothes? You ever traveled with a kid? A lot of you guys listening? It's insane. They don't know how to pack. They don't know how to do anything. Now... You may say to yourself, well, of course, Phil, they're kids. Yeah, but even kids learn stuff. It's been years I've been trying to get these guys to know how to pack. My youngest son still doesn't... He gets everything packed, and by packed, I mean he throws it all into the suitcase like it's garbage. And it's all ready. Are you packed? Yep, you're packed. Yep, everything's in. Yeah, everything's in. Sure, yeah. Then whose underwear is that? Whose socks are those? Who's... Oh, okay. And then when's the last time you washed that underwear, man? That's another big question. And then when I was folding up his bathing suit to help him get it in there, like a stench wafted up from the netting of this bathing suit that was beyond belief. It was like, let me put it to you this way. On day three, I walked into the room. It smelled exactly like a pet store. Exactly like a pet store. You know that kind of mixture of crap and birdseed? That's how it smelled. It smelled like a mixture of feces and birdseed, and these are human beings. Last I checked. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Let me say one more thing about fat people on the cruise. I'm kidding. I got nothing else to say. Other than one of them got off, that was me. Something I got to do something about my weight, which, you know, if you followed the show at all, 2 years ago, I went on Weight Watchers. I dropped 40 pounds. I was in fighting trim. I was ready to rock and roll. And guess what I did? I went on that stinking cruise with my kids. Spoiled, rotten brats. God, I hate them. I hate them so much. Hi, I'm Phil Henry. 1-800-449-8686. See, this is what I'm talking about. Katharine Hepburn died. Do you know who she is? Of course you don't. But to a whole bunch of wrinkled-up old people, she was really important. She was an actress. She was the Meryl Streep of her day. She was in a bunch of movies. The most recent one, something called On Golden Pond, which with Henry Fonda, which sounds pretty scary to me. So what's this all about? Water sports at the age of 80? That's a disgusting...
I'm Katharine Hepburn.
What is she? No diapers? What are you talking about? Why are you making fun of such a great woman, Phil? Oh, a great woman? Oh, I see. Okay. Well, excuse me. Excuse me, Miss Hepburn, or whoever the hell she's supposed to be. You see, this great woman carried on an affair with a married man for 27 years. Now, I may be old-fashioned, But I don't think so. I think I'm coming around to a way of thinking that a lot of Americans have come around to. Look, if you marry a woman, you stay faithful to her, right? Now, the guy she was having an affair with is a guy named Spencer Tracy, who was another actor that people say was good. I don't know, and personally, I could care less. I don't care whether you're a good actor or not. If you're good, you're good. If you ain't, you ain't. Who cares, man? The impression you make on the human race is nil. All right? Talk to me about a guy like Jonas Salk, somebody that did something, then we can talk, okay? You talk to me about Katharine Hepburn. I don't even know who you're talking about. But I will tell you this much. I know this much about this hag. She carried on an affair with a married man for 27 years. She enabled this drunk by the name of Spencer Tracy to cheat on his wife for 27 years. A man who had a wife and kids, but this Hepburn broad, I'm supposed to think is just all that because she was in love with him. And when he died, guess where he died? Did he die with his wife and with his children? He died with her. His bathrobe was still hanging in her bathroom. And to this day, because I remember when he died, I was in high school when this guy Tracy died. To this day, I don't know the name of his wife. Who was this woman? 30 years the guy was married to her, cheated on her every day of his miserable life with this broad that everybody says is so great because she did a couple of movies. I couldn't name one of them. What, African Queen? What was that about? Going in a boat down a river with who? Humphrey Bogart, right? Okay, that was supposedly good. What else? On Golden Pond, boring. Next. What else she do? Was she in Spider-Man? No. Then I don't care. The Philadelphia Story she was in? What's that about? Was that about that ship that disappeared? Was she in X-Men? Was she in Matrix Reloaded? Is she in the Hulk? Was she in Two Towers? Then I don't care. Katharine Hepburn dies at 96 and a whole world comes to a screeching halt. This woman's face is on the cover of USA Today. Let me tell you what she was. She was a weakling who had an affair with a man that was married, enabling another weakling, an alcoholic by the name of Spencer Tracy, and the two of them gallivanted through their Hollywood lives. They made movies that were sometimes okay, sometimes sucked. They took the money that was paid to them to have their, quote, royal way of life. They, carried on an affair, an illicit affair that was cheating some children and a woman out of a life that was rightfully theirs. And the rest of it is just crud. I mean, who cares about their freaking movies? This is the point that I always try to make. As far as it goes, movies, sports, entertainment, even this talk show is fine. Because as the great Howard Beale said in the movie Network, it's boredom killing. 3 hours of boredom killing. And that's all that we do. That's all we do. But what's happened over the course of time is that the athlete, the actress, the entertainer has been elevated to a level not unlike a great Roman soldier. Like, these people think there ought to be busts of them, statues of them in front of libraries. We named freeways after football coaches. We named grammar schools after baseball players. Guys that couldn't read, we're naming grammar schools after. That makes a lot of sense. And all of it we take. All of it we gladly suck because every now and again, for $8, $8.50, they put out a movie that we could actually stay awake through. Every now and again. And for what do we get in the end when these people croak? Well, I mean, they were just the greatest thing in the world. You'd think we're talking about Franklin Roosevelt or John Kennedy or freaking, what's the woman that did the, Madame Curie. I was going to say, who's the woman that did the cartoon voice for Rocky? Madame Curie. Now, June Foray, there's an actress. And here's this Kate Hepburn with her affair with Spencer Tracy, some juice hound that every now and again did a good movie. What are you people talking about? Have we lost our minds? Now we want to run one of them for governor. For governor. In other words, we don't want him to be the ringmaster in a circus, or maybe be the speaker at a coffee klatch or something. We want him to run the state. Good riddance to bad rubbish is what I say. And the same goes for that Strom Thurmond, too. That old, old, disgusting old man. I don't, to this day, I can't figure out why he fought the Nazis when so many of their ideas he liked. They say that he fought on the beaches of Normandy, but then they said that he was a paratrooper behind enemy lines. Which is it? Because the paratroopers weren't on the beaches. And then he got back to the United States after doing that and proceeded to try to keep Hitler's ideas alive. That's great. We'll see you later, Strom. You and Kate, have yourselves a mint julep up there in heaven, or wherever the hell it is you is. Now they want to run one of these guys for governor. And on top of that, see, here's another example of what I'm talking about. Mel Gibson, you know who this is, right? He's making a movie about Jesus, and he thinks that he's been inspired by the Holy Spirit to make the movie. To really tell the story of Jesus and how he suffered, because Mel knows. Mel knows how Jesus suffered. And other people that have seen it, they say that's really, it's fantastic. And this isn't just a movie. My God, this is, what did he call it, Janice? I couldn't resist when you said, is it a proselytizing? He believes it's a like spreading the gospel, right? Mel Gibson is now going to, this is a guy that takes this whole I'm an artist thing seriously. He's going to spread the gospel now. He's made a movie about Jesus. This thing is, from everybody that I know who's seen it, is a Jew hate thing from beginning to end. Look, if you hate Jews, Mel, why didn't you stay in Australia? Your kind of people are down there. If you can't stand Jews, what are you going to try to cram that stuff down my throat up here for $8? Go down to Australia, hang out with all those clean living neo-Nazis down there, and don't bother me. Even though you've made such great movies like Conspiracy Theory and the one that I just so loved, What Women Want. What a genius flick that was. Look, pal, I don't know about anybody else, but Braveheart blew. It blew. So did The Patriot. Lethal Weapon sucked. Ransom was okay. The Bounty, Signs. You could have done that movie with anybody. Couldn't you? The Road Warrior, Mad Max, there you go, that's it. That's your contribution to the whole situation. Now the guy's making a movie about Jesus, and it ain't in English, it's in Aramaic. All right, that's fine, you can do whatever the hell you want. He's not going to subtitle it. It's just, I've seen a lot of movies on TV where it's just, I've seen tons of movies like that, and they don't bother, just flip on Univision any Sunday afternoon. I don't understand what a cat's saying on that either. But this guy's going to make a movie in Aramaic, and I don't know anybody that speaks that. And he's going to punch that baby out for about $8 a shot. I'm going to go in, they're going to get a lot of suckers and schmucks. They're going to go in and watch it. And why are they going to watch it? Because Mel says it's art. He says it's art. And he's going to try to convert you into Christianity, tell you all about Jesus, and how the Jews killed him. As far as I'm concerned, I'm glad the Jews killed him. Somebody's got to be on the side of the Jews, and I've decided it's me. Good job. All right, hey, they killed Jesus. What the hell? Will you give it up? Romans killed him, too. I think the wops and the kikes killed our Savior. There you go. And I applaud him for it. Okay, there. You happy? There, Mel, I just sent your message out, man, and it was free. You don't have to make your movie after all. Mel Gibson, I've just undercut whatever budget he had for this piece of crap and whatever idiotic studio greenlit this thing. I just undercut the message, Mel. The Wops and Kikes killed Jesus, and it's really too bad. Thank you. The end.
Dun, 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 dun.
So be looking for that in your movie theaters and shovel a few more million into Gibson's bank account because he's directing now. He realized he can't act. I'm Phil Hendry. Neither can I. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You know, if you think about it, the Bible was written by the first millennium versions of screenwriters, really. Like Nora Ephron and Joe Esterhaus. That's who wrote the Bible, those cats. That's about how good it was. And that guy Esterhaus, you ever heard of him? He wrote a movie called Showgirls. Anybody see that? And this guy tried to say it was spiritual. Do you understand the con game that's being run on us?
Do you understand the con that's being run on us by popular entertainment, by culture at large? Don't you understand? Don't you know what this show represents? This show represents an extension of that bullcrap. I mean, this show represents a, we're going against that. All right, here's Katie. Katie, hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, how about yourself?
Not bad.
Good,
I just got off the Disney cruise.
Pardon?
I just got off the Disney cruise, so I'm full
good
of Mickey Mouse and everything, Donald Duck.
Great. I was just listening to your last segment there about Mel Gibson.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I have to agree with you. He's a horrible actor, and I hated him, too. But after listening to your little rant there, it makes me want to go out and get all my friends together, a huge group, and go see that new movie.
Well, have fun.
Yeah. You know what? I was surprised by your ignorance, and I'm just wondering, like, do you have a religious affiliation at all? Do you have any respect for other religions?
Yes, I do.
What religious affiliation are you?
Well, that's none of your business.
Okay. So would you say you're unbiased?
I tell you what, I'm a Jew. I'm a Jew. How about that?
Okay, do you understand Hollywood is run by Jewish people?
Katie, I live here. You don't. So don't start telling me about how Hollywood's run.
Oh, you don't even
run.
Know
number
where
one,
I live.
Okay? And number two, Mel Gibson's a Catholic. I was raised Catholic.
Yes.
The strain of anti-Semitism and Catholicism is undeniable. Undeniable. It was
so
in my life.
About
I lived
Jesus
it.
Has to be, anti-Semitic.
I lived it. His film reportedly is, but beyond
reportedly.
That, but beyond that, what I'm making fun of really is his statement that he is going to spread the word of Jesus through a movie, and that he's making art here by this Aramaic language bit of self-indulgence that an actor was given the helm of a movie because he makes a lot of money for the studio, and nobody really cares. You know, Mel Gibson's telling the life of Jesus is about as original as making another flying saucer movie.
I don't think so, in fact, though. I think Hollywood should do more artsy-type movies. I think that
Hollywood's not going
to
do
be exposed to art, different types of movies.
There is no art in Hollywood, okay? You can't do
exactly.
Art. Film is
so
not art. Well, first of all, film is not...
Well,
He's not doing art. He's just playing with himself. He's getting behind the camera and pretending like he's an artiste.
I'm just surprised that you would celebrate the life of Jesus, whatever religion you are, because, like, that's
because
a
I don't like
surprising
Mel Gibson.
To me.
Yeah,
like,
you're right.
Take it out on Mel Gibson.
I'm not a Christian because I don't like Mel Gibson. You're right. I plead guilty.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
Right. To be a better Christian, you got to like Mel Gibson.
No, not at all. I don't like Mel Gibson, but I applaud him for doing something that's out of the ordinary. Maybe it's going to flop. Maybe he'll lose millions of dollars.
What's
but,
out
you know,
of the ordinary?
Doing something different.
What's out of the ordinary about it? He's making the life of Jesus. He's blaming the Jews for killing him. What's so unusual about that?
No, he's telling the story. And historically, there was Jewish people involved. There was Roman people involved.
He's telling the story. Yeah,
Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer
told the story. Cecil B. DeMille told the story. It was a movie of the week back in the 70s. How many times do I got to see the story of this guy, Jesus?
Well, you don't have to.
What's original about that?
I'm looking forward to seeing it. You know
what is original about? What's original about that?
You know what, though? It's not about originality. I just came back from Jesus Christ.
You just got done saying that it was. You said it's nice to see something different.
It's original for Hollywood. I just came back from
Jesus Christ. No, it's not. Hollywood's done nothing but make movies about...
It was one of the best musicals I've ever seen, and I'd go see it again tomorrow.
By the way, Katie,
it's a new story.
I hate to tell you, but a Jew produced Jesus Christ Superstar. I know it disappoints you.
I love it.
I know that it's ripping your heart out.
I think that's great.
And the other thing about these Jews that run Hollywood that you say do run Hollywood is that they're making more movies about Jesus than I've ever seen in my life. They make more movies about Jesus than they make movies about Jews.
Well, it's a great story. It's an epic tale. I wish it was done 100 more times. I would
it's
rather
boring.
Not
We've seen it enough times. People ought to start living it.
You know what?
You know
boring?
What people ought to do, Katie? People ought to start
you know
living
boring?
It.
Boring is action
people,
movies where you don't think, where you're not encouraged to have original creative ideas, where you just watch
What's wrong with an action movie?
People.
I can sit down and watch an action movie where a guy's head blows up and I feel my violence is I've been able to express it.
No,
there's millions of times I want to rip a guy's head off. I go and see Jesus.
If you want to sit down and watch a movie and not think about anything for 2 hours, that's a movie like your action movie. If you want to sit down and watch the epic tale redone of Jesus Christ, no, not one person in the whole world could sit there and not be moved by that because that's like one of the most...
No, you're wrong. You're wrong. It depends on how the story's told and it depends on whether... It absolutely depends on how the story... I've seen more dull-ass stories about Jesus. I'll tell you the best movie about Jesus Christ that was ever made was the one that Scorsese made, The Last Temptation of Christ. That was a great movie. That showed him.
You haven't even seen this new movie yet.
I don't
because
need
he's
to
done
see.
A million different ways.
I don't need to see a Catholic's interpret, you know, straight ahead Jew bashing interpretation of the life of Jesus. I grew up with that stuff. Why do I need to listen to it again for? I had priests coming up to me with books that said Jews and communism, how Jews have influenced the world communist movement. I had nuns telling me the story of how the Jews murdered Jesus. I don't need any more of his Catholic bullcrap.
That's unfortunate. That you have to grow up in that kind of biased society.
Well, I got to tell you something. You know, it's not a biased society, Kate. It's not a biased society. It's a biased religion. It's not a biased society. It's a biased religion. The Christians of this world have done more to destroy their own religion.
That's not true.
Absolutely. And you guys should do less talking at people and more talking to each other about how you live in your lives. Because I'll tell you something.
I didn't even say that I was Christian.
Yeah, you are. Don't worry about it. You're talking just like one. You talk just like one.
About Buddha, I would see a movie about any other religion.
About who?
And I would never say that I'm glad they died.
You talk just
I think
like
that's
one.
Horrible.
You talk just like a Christian, and money says you are
I
one.
I talk just like a Christian.
Yeah, you are a Christian. Don't worry, or at least you think you are. The fact of the matter is that Christians have done more to destroy their own religion than anybody else, and they should do less trying to indoctrinate the rest of the world and do more trying to make sense out of the crap that they're saying to each other half the time. Thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686, or do we want to even take another call? Bobby Dooley is next on the morality of the new anti-sodomy laws. How this is good for women's rights. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
It was a homey scene in their warm kitchen on Winter's Day, 2001. Julie and Hillary Goodridge, a couple for 16 years, played the old Beatles song, All You Need Is Love. What am I reading here? Anyway, we're looking at a story today about sodomy, the anti-sodomy ordinances that have been overturned, at least in the state of... What was that I was reading? Was that the story? Anyway, we're going to be talking with Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association and talk to her, actually for the Parent Teacher Organization, to talk to her about the Supreme Court ruling on sodomy and how it has been overturned, at least in the state of Texas. This is a sexual act that has long been considered part of the lifestyle of homosexuals or the orientation of homosexuals. But it's more than that, right, Ms. Dooley?
Phil, first of all, it's a day that not only gay people have fought for, but women as well, because it now means we are all free to explore our sexuality. I'm a feminist first, and the act of sodomy, I think long practiced by gay people, is now legal for straight women as well, along with their male partners.
So the Supreme Court striking down the anti-sodomy law in Texas is not only allows freedom for gay people, but straight women?
Absolutely, Phil. I think we can now begin to enjoy our bodies fully. You were talking about Katharine Hepburn. She just died a few days ago, and I'm sorry that Kate was not here to see it happen.
All right. The anti-sodomy laws is something women as well as gays will celebrate, and you're talking about straight women, though, right?
No, well, what it means, Phil...
That's all I want to clarify.
Absolutely. And what it means, Phil, is that along with the right to vote and the right to earn equal pay, we now have the right to enjoy ourselves through the practice of sodomy and without fear of persecution.
This is a momentous decision for gay people because of sexual privacy, but I didn't know it was a major stepping stone for women. And I guess what I'm trying to say is, how is that the case?
Well, so first of all, sodomy is not just something that gays practice. It is something that straight people do as well. And for thousands of American couples, mothers and fathers, with families, with jobs, every time they rightfully engaged in that kind of sex, you had the fear of a vice squad breaking down the door. My husband and I And I can tell you a story. There was a night Steve and I were engaged in that, and I saw a police car coming down of our street. And because I was on my hands and knees at the time, I could see through the window that it was a police car. And I thought to myself, and I can still feel my heart palpitating, I thought, dear Jesus, have we been turned in by this? This was this BITCH that lived next door, and the police car actually went on up the hill to a neighbor's house. That's the kind of fear that we live in. And we are trying to, we're trying to say thank you to the Supreme Court and let women, especially young women, know that it's now safe to enjoy our bodies.
All right, we're talking with Bobby Dooley, the parent-teacher organization of Western Estates. Ms. Dooley, the Supreme Court ruling striking down anti-sodomy laws in Texas, as well as perhaps other places, is being celebrated, you say, in the straight and in the gay community.
Especially by women.
Especially by women.
Which, Phyllis, is why we're meeting with the PTO. How do we tell our young women it's no longer illegal to do that with your boyfriend? I'm not letting these young girls who will be in high school next year go through the pain I went through when my mother, my own mother, called me a slut when I let a young man who worked at a dairy near our house teach me a game, and we had a lot of fun with it called Drop the Soap. So we don't want that to happen.
All right, I want to be clear. Are you conducting some kind of seminar among high school girls?
Well, these are girls that will be in high school next year.
So they're not even high school girls?
They're going to be in high school next year.
And this is a seminar telling them what? Explaining?
Explaining to them that the Supreme Court has essentially made sodomy legal, and that this is a wonderful time to be a woman, a wonderful time for us to express ourselves and our bodies.
I'm going to give her phone number out if you don't mind, Ms. Dooley, and then I have a couple of questions.
But still, there is a step-by-step process that we want to go through.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The United States Supreme Court ruled sodomy to be a constitutionally protected act. Ms. Dooley, and of course most people think that's more relevant in the gay community than it is in the straight community, but Ms. Dooley is saying that women, and you're saying specifically women, why?
Phil, because I think every woman and every young woman in this country can finally breathe a sigh of relief. Women have reclaimed their bodies and the right to do what we've been waiting to do is important for us.
Well, what are the three things you're talking about?
Well, the first thing that we have to say to these young women is, one, it's a wonderful way to say I love you to the man in your life. Two, talk is talk, but there's no truer way of showing a man how much you love him than to allow him to do this. And three, and I think most important, when we got the vote, we knew what to do with it. When we got equal pay, we knew what to do with it. And now that sodomy is legal, we want the girls to know what they're doing. Practicing is always important. I don't want to get too graphic, but using your thumb and things like that.
All right, well, we don't have to get into that right now.
No, we don't. But I do want women to know that the fact that sodomy is now legal in the United States, and it's an ugly word, Phil.
Well, the reason why it's an ugly word and the reason why I'm having a hard time understanding what you're saying is we're not talking about rape, are we?
No, we're talking about sodomy.
And sodomy is a sex act that has been practiced by gays.
Gay people, but straight people, too.
All right.
And that's the part that we think is exciting. Not only is the gay community now free to practice, but women, straight women, are free to practice it.
All right. And I had no idea that this was a part of...
It's really a part of women owning their own bodies. It's a part of us saying we're taking back our bodies. We want to know that we are in control of our destiny. Gay people get to do that. Why can't women do it, too?
All right, but I don't want to get graphic when we talk about sodomy, but you're saying that women are looking forward to this?
I'm saying that it is a part of the sexual freedom that we have worked so hard for, and that's why we desperately have to get the word out to our young women not to be afraid if a young man suggests it. There are ways of practicing. See, I'm a feminist, Phil, and I think that's what I should have said up front. I'm a feminist.
Calling yourself a feminist doesn't necessarily mean that you have the best interests of young people at heart, does it?
Well, as a feminist, Phil, we want to... Oh, yes, it does.
Well, being a feminist is protecting women's rights.
No, this is about children, too, and especially young ladies. And as a feminist, I want young women to know that a great new world of opportunity has opened up since sodomy has become a legal act, not only for gay people, but for straight people as well.
And by that, you mean straight women?
And by that, I especially mean straight women, yeah.
All right, Bobby Dooley with us, the president of the Western Estates Parent Teacher Organization. The Supreme Court striking down anti-sodomy laws and making it essentially legal in the United States, says Ms. Dooley, is a great move not just for gay people but for straight women who have long looked forward to owning their own bodies and, I guess, engaging this. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Won't float without pontoons. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Talking with Bobby Dooley of the Western Estates Parent Teacher Organization on the Supreme Court ruling on sodomy. Now, I don't want to be too graphic, but sodomy is a sex act, Ms. Dooley, and it is a sex act that's traditionally been engaged in by gay people.
But again, Phil, that's where you really skew the argument. It's also been engaged in by straights.
All right, well, this is okay, and you're saying that it's a wonderful time for straight women.
It is, because I think it's something that straight women have always been interested in.
We're talking about the same thing here, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, so it's like where a man and a woman connect not in the traditional place, but another place.
Yes. And do you want me to be graphic? Or
no, I'd rather that you not, no, but that's... And that's now legal.
That, according to the Supreme Court, I don't understand your question.
Okay, so this is a great day for women's rights.
Yes.
See, because I thought that it was a great day for the rights of gay people who are looking for intimacy.
No, more than that, Phil, this is a great day for the rights of women. Now young women will not have to hide sodomy like I did, and all the women before me. Now young women can practice it out in the open without fear of the intrusion of their parents, because legally a parent cannot tell a child not to have sex that's legal. In other words, the only legal way that a parent can intrude on the sex life of their child is if that child is engaged in an illegal or immoral sex act. But sodomy now no longer is. And what we're trying to tell young women is that...
Is if they have sex to do this? I mean, first of all, you're talking about young ladies that are no longer... They're not in high school, right?
They'll be in high school in September.
They'll be in high school in September. And so... Well, I'll tell you, I got a daughter who's going to be in high school, and not for a while, but I certainly would not encourage her to do anything like this. In fact... Not until she is a young woman and understands the world of women and men.
You know, Phil, can I interrupt you for a minute?
Go ahead.
You sound like so many traditional parents who really are not with it. I have been blessed in my life to be very young thinking. I think young. I act young. And as a result, young women seek my counsel. And it's sad. It's really sad to see that they want my counsel as opposed to their own mothers. But I always say to myself, better that they have me than to go out onto a street or into an alley and learn it from some waitress or some woman that, you know, works in a blue-collar or a pink-collar job. Better that they talk to me, a modern woman, about things like sodomy that are wonderful opportunities for women, as opposed to going out and learning it from some gal that they work with in a beauty parlor or some... you know, woman who is obviously, you know, gender challenged in that she wants to have a man's job. I'm a feminist. I fought so long for women's rights, And finally, Phil, we've won this battle.
Well, okay, as a feminist, you just made a slam on women that like to work and that are gender challenged.
But there's a lot of women that want to do men's work, and I think that that's, I think it verges on sort of latent homosexuality as well.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686 here on the Phil Hendry Show. Ms. Dula, you stated that young women come to you and seek your counsel because you're more with it, and they can't talk to their own mothers about this stuff. You're talking to these young ladies and encouraging them to involve themselves in these sex acts. You also say it's better that they hear it from you than some woman who works in a cafeteria or a beauty parlor. What does that mean? What does it mean that they talk to a suburban woman like yourself about sodomy and all other things having to do with sex, as opposed to some woman who works in a beauty parlor or as a waitress?
Well, Phil, first of all, the divorce rate is at its peak. We want young women to bond with their men, to keep their marriages together, like I keep my marriage together with my husband. Women that work as waitresses in beauty parlors are generally divorcées, or divorcées is the French, which means divorced. A divorcée is someone who is no longer married. Additionally, talking to these young ladies about the wonderful opportunities and employment opportunities of sodomy is just a great...
Well, what do you mean employment opportunities?
I'm saying that this has opened up the world of sex for women.
Okay, but we're living in a day and an age where we have sexually transmitted disease. We've got unwanted pregnancy. We've gotten smarter as the years have unfolded as we go into the new millennium about sex.
But that's the wonderful thing about sodomy, Phil. There is no pregnancy. That's number one. See, I got you on that, didn't I? I got you on that because...
Well, I mean...
No, I got you on that. And that's the... Anytime someone says to you, you shouldn't practice sodomy, you can always say to them this, yes, but you can't get pregnant. And that's the wonderful thing about it. That's why I think it's a wonderful opportunity for women.
Well, all right. No, you can't get pregnant.
But you would encourage a young woman to risk pregnancy rather than have proper education on sodomy at an early age.
No, I don't think that women should have that. My daughter? You're going to talk to my daughter about having that kind of sex?
She won't get pregnant. And this overturning of the sodomy law is going to do wonders for monogamy and staying in a relationship. Because if you give that to a man, he'll never stray.
I don't know that that's true, but we're talking with Bobby Dooley. She's the president of the Western Estates Parent Teachers Organization. The untraditional sexual act of sodomy has been made basically legal by the Supreme Court. It was against the law in Texas. It is against the law in some 24 other states, but it looks like it's going to be a thing of the past in those states as well, because the Supreme Court says that it is unconstitutional to control the private sexual habits and behaviors of two consenting adults, at least with regard to this act. Ms. Dooley's on our program because we believe this to be something that would benefit the gay community. She's saying it'll benefit the straight community as well, especially straight women. And I find your opinion that this is a boon for women's rights to be pretty strange, that sodomy being legal means women have more freedom.
Oh, yes, they do. And again, it'll keep marriages together. So I'm a feminist at heart and soul.
Well, you call yourself a feminist, but I don't understand what it is that you do, other than the fact that you're...
I'm standing up for women's rights.
No, other than the fact that you're standing up for women's rights, you put down women that are working. You don't like the fact that women who have pink-collar jobs are talking to each other about these things.
Well, I just don't think a woman who works as a waitress, Phil, is the best person to talk to about these things. I think these parents out there should jump at the chance to teach their girls about sodomy and not keep it in the closet any longer.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that they will. All right, Bobby, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show here with Bobby Dooley, the Western Estates Parent Teacher Organization. And you're invited to check in, although I'm not quite sure what it is that anybody's going to say to someone who is talking to their kids about the wonderful employment opportunities of sodomy while the parents don't even know what's going on. 1-800-449-8686 here on the Phil Hendry Show. Don't forget that our Citizens Auxiliary Police travel mug, along with the Citizens Auxiliary Police baseball cap, along with all the other stuff, is available on our website at philhendryshow.com. Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. We've also got the bowling shirt from the new Ted's of Beverly Hills in Maui that's going to be appearing soon. We have our official Phil Hendry Show gear, and we have our
Western Estates gear. That's right. Bobby Dooley's own polo shirt, spa robe, and other items available there if you log on to philhenryshow.com. And while you're in our souvenir shop, check out our Best of the Phil Henry Show CD. Now, it's available for only $20, and you can pick it up there. And all the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. That's the Phil Henry Show Best of CD. And it's available on our website, philhenryshow.com, www.philhenryshow.com. The money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. No, none of the money comes to me. I don't make a nickel off of any of this stuff, and we're very, very happy that that's the case. Go to our website, philhenryshow.com. Friday, we have our top 100 calls of the year. That's on July the 4th, Friday, the top 100 calls to this radio show of the year. And that'll start at 4 o'clock Pacific, go all the way until 7 o'clock Pacific time. The top 100 phone calls that came into our radio show of the year coming up this Friday. Phil Henry Show will be right back.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
I got a list of things I want to do before I die. This was inspired by a list of things supposedly you should do before you're 30 that I read on some online magazine. I forget what it was. And as soon as I read it, I went, this is suspiciously like a woman wrote it. And sure enough, a woman had written it. And there's nothing wrong with women writing articles. But when someone says to me, before you're 30, drive a wickedly cool car, it's not exactly something a guy says to another guy. Or I think there was something in the poll having to do with, before you're 30, go against type in dating. Huh? Hey, I went against my type in date. What's your type? Someone who will have sex with me on the floor of a meat locker on the first date. And I thought I'd go against type. And sort of go for somebody a little less, you know. Here's the difference between men and women. When it comes to sex, all guys are the same type. And going against type means that we all go against type. Because, for instance, when it comes to sex, before I was married, pretty much she had to be attractive in my eyes. So that puts me in line with every guy out there. The woman needs to be attractive. But the good news is that to each man, there's a different kind of attractiveness. Secondly, she should be willing to have sex with me in an alley on the cement within a half hour of me first picking her up. And that also is what most men want. So you see, guys are all the same. When it comes to going against type, there's only one person that goes against type when it comes to dating. That's a woman. Well, you mean you used to go out with guys that beat you until there was blood coming from your gums, right? Yes, I did. And you know what? I decided to go against type this time. I want a man who, I don't know, a little more dangerous than that. Someone who actually went to school? You mean you want a guy who actually has a job? Yes. Oh. Anyway, I knew that poll just was not for me. So I thought I'd come up with something that was more... I think a more accurate reflection of where I'm at, things that I want to do before I croak, because I can't do them before I'm 30, man. I'm past that now. And you're not going to say, here are things I want to do before I'm 60. No, just stuff I want to do now before I die. Just die. I want to drink more. I just want to drink more. Because there are times when I hold back. There are times when I say, well, it's a social situation. It's a kid's birthday party. And then I don't do what my inner voice tells me to do. Have another tequila. See, I've been holding myself back. I'll be at a birthday party for it'll be like a born-again, kind of a school Christian church function. And I won't have that extra bottle of wine. Well, why not? So I get blind, stinking, drunk at a church picnic. So what? Number two, if my wife predeceases me, that's only if my wife predeceases me, I'd like to have sex with Giselle Fernandez of the Channel 5 Morning News. Number four, I want to say the F word more, the C word, the MF, the CS, the GD, the S, the B, the R, all those words. I want to say them more, and I want to say them on the air someday and be the first guy to do that, and that way it won't be such a big thing, and then people can get back to actually doing radio shows again. Number five, I want to get into a street race with some dumb redneck in a Trans Am, blow his doors off, and then watch in my rearview mirror as he careens into a guardrail. Just stuff I want to do before I turn 70, 80, 90, before I croak, because it could be tomorrow the way I'm going. Number six, I don't want to ever go on a cruise ever, ever again. And I mean ever again, and I mean even if I'm tortured in the manner that they do it in South America. And that includes batteries, electrodes, fingernails, everything. Number seven, I don't want to visit Europe with my wife when I'm 70 and unable to control my bowels. You'll excuse me. It doesn't sound like a lot of fun to me. I don't want to be walking through a lovely Danish garden and all of a sudden just lose it. Unless I'm in the Louvre in Paris, then I'd be happy to crap all through that place before I die. Number eight, you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to tell my kids that they're going to get thrown out of the house when they turn 18 and then follow through on it when they turn 18 and laugh them in the face if they ask to come home. There's a lot of kids doing that. I don't know if you know this or not. A lot of kids are calling from college now, 1 year in, 2 years in. I want to come home. It's not going to. Well, I'm really sorry to hear that because you ain't coming back here. Well, what do you mean? Nope, you're not coming back. On my 60th birthday, I'd like to drive to Ladera Heights at 2 a.m. and score ketamine. Number 10. Here's my ultimate sports fantasy, and I'd like to live this, not relive this, but live this before I die. I'd like to, what do you think the chances of this happening? It's one of those make-a-wish thing, you know that? Dad, I have it for old creeps like me. How come kids get it? Why don't I get it? Talk about a terminal illness. Let me tell you what, Charlie, I got one. Okay? So I'm talking to Make-A-Wish now. This is what I want. I want to be named head of ABC Sports so I can fire Al Michaels, John Madden, and Guerrero, and take Monday Night Football off the air permanently. Just a little wish that I have. Number 11, before I die, you know what? I'd like to be a child again. I want to do something playful. I want to do something childish. I want to do something completely meaningless, something that doesn't affect anyone and is just absolutely empty, meaningless activity that no one really notices or cares about. In other words, I'd like to write for Shepard Smith. That's it. You like that Shepard Smith one, man? I want to do that. I'm Phil Hendry. I'll be right back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I got reminded of this. I told you that I took the kids, my wife and I took them out to Florida for the last 10 days. You got to understand something that is, well, for me, I lived in Florida for 6-7 years. And I liked it. I liked Miami a lot. I lived in Orlando. I was there. I worked construction work. Lived there about 4-5 years. Started my radio career down there. Now, it's a whole different world down there because it's tropic, it's subtropic. That's the weather part. Then you have the people that live there. You have two kinds of people, the people that grew up there and are from there, and then that real twisted element that moves there from the Northeast, Midwest, and other parts. You don't meet too many people from the far west living in Florida, but you do meet a lot of people from the Northeast, and the Midwest, and a lot of them come down there with some fly-by-night business scheme of some kind, and they wind up, lashed to the back of Shamu and SeaWorld dead. It's strange stories like that. Man, they found a guy dead on a whale in SeaWorld. Only in Florida can these things happen. And then the other thing about Florida that just sucks is that weather they got down there. Like right now, it pisses down rain. You've never seen anything like it before in your life. Is this the summer or is this not? I just want to ask you. It is, right? Is this when kids are out of school? So when you're a kid and you're out of school, don't you want to go out and frolic in the sunshine? Not down there, you don't. You go down there, you got to frolic in a lightning storm. So I got down there and it's raining the first day. And the kid, that's why they got into a fist fight. I tell you, my kids got into a fist fight. Yeah, they got into a fist fight because the first day we're on that boat and we're waiting to go out of that harbor, it's coming down, the rain. And I mean lightning. And then you go inside and it clears up and it's sunny. I don't mind humidity. I got no problem with that, man. People talk about humidity. Whatever. As long as it's sunny. A little bit of sun. So you can go out there and you can look like it's, this looks like a summer day to me. There's some sunshine out there. But 4 o'clock in the afternoon, this rain starts and then there's lightning storms and you don't even know where the hell you're living anymore. You swear to God, you don't even know what am I doing here, man? I could be, back in California. I could be soaking up some freaking rays on the beach standing here as a lightning rod waiting to get cooked. Yeah, that's a lot of fun. I just reading here, this guy at this Dale Earnhardt concert, it was a tribute, whatever, Daytona Beach. It was interrupted by a massive thunderstorm. Good idea having an outdoor concert in the middle of the summer in Daytona Beach, Florida. Brilliant. And I'm telling you, you've never seen lightning before in your life. Now, a lot of you guys come from the Midwest, the Northeast, you know what I'm talking about. Out here, the people they don't know from bad weather. Believe me, they think they do. California thinks they know bad weather. We wouldn't know bad weather, man, if it kissed us right full in the mouth. We wouldn't know bad weather. We think that when we get that rain in the wintertime out here and the streets flood and a house slides down the back of a mountain because some guy was too stupid to build it on rock, that's bad weather. No, no. You got people getting cooked, zapped, fried, baked, sautéed, grilled every summer from lightning. And you want to see that stuff. Have you ever seen it? Where the hell was I? It was last week. I guess I was sitting on a ship. No, I wasn't. I was still in Orlando. And I heard what sounded like a cannon, like an 88-millimeter cannon go off behind me. And my wife, and I said, what the hell? She said it was lightning. And it hit right outside in other words, it lit up the whole interior of the restaurant we were in like an atomic bomb, man. Now I know what they felt like in Hiroshima. It must have just been one big flash, a whole lot of teeth, and then nothing. Just a whole bunch of, holy Jesus! I wouldn't give, you can't pay me enough. I ain't saying the people that live there know what they're doing because they dig it, You can go fishing, whatever the hell you want to do, man. I can't live with that, right? And the first 3 days I'm out on that stupid ship, it's pouring rain. Till finally, we got into Cayman. Now, Cayman, do you know anything about Grand? Did we already take our break? Okay. You know anything about Grand Cayman? It's an island down in the Caribbean. Now, this is the one Caribbean island that I do recommend you go to. The rest of them are large floating toilet bowls. But Cayman is a great place. But it's only great for two things, snorkeling and scuba diving. That's it. Everything else, forget it. You don't want to go there. You're not going there. The beach is fine. It ain't great. You're not going to go down there for the restaurants or anything. You're going down there to snorkel, and we got these aqua boats. And the kids, this is the one time I get their lazy little asses off the ship. I said, we're going to Cayman and we're going to snorkel whether you like it or not. I don't want to. And they're crying. They're crying. I said, I don't believe you guys, man, are bawling because you have to go snorkeling. I don't want to. I'm telling you. So what I did, though, is I rented these how many we got? We got like four, how many are there? Six of us. We got three of these aqua boats. These suckers will go about 50 out in the open high seas. Oh, baby. So these two Kiwis. You ever met these sun-baked Kiwi guys, these dudes from New Zealand?
Oh, they're beautiful. These guys, right, well, the first thing, the cats are just completely baked. Yeah, they get on, you can just imagine their life. They got on the fat pants, and they've got the T-shirt. You know, it's kind of just bleached out from the sun. It says something like Shady's Bar, you know, Kingston. And they've got they got the requisite stud earring, and one other guy has a loop earring. They all got the tats. You know, one tat is like a, it's, you know, it's like his mother being raped by the devil, and there's another tat with a crucifix on his back. It's like, yeah, Jimmy Buffett meets Sammy Hagar sort of thing. And both these cats are like just the long, bleached out hair, and these dudes have lived down there for so long that they can go diving into the bay and find things in the salt water with their eyes open, not wearing any mask. Because my daughter lost the tube to her snorkel, and I said, can you get that? He goes, yeah, right, I'll get it right now. I said, do you need my mask? No, no, no. And the guy just died. He's got his eyes open in the salt water looking for this mask. Yeah, these, it's just, it's a whole other world, right? But see, here's the thing. You go down there, those guys think they know what it's about, right? So they look at me like I'm a lame ass, because I'm a landlubber, and I'm a dumbass with white legs, and I've got my stupid shorts, and I have my camera and my sunglasses, right? And they're looking at me like I don't know what it's about, right? So what makes them think they can survive in my world? You see what I'm saying? So every time you go down there, and those guys look at you like you're some dumbass in from the freaking world, and you're going to go out into their turf, which is the sun and the surf of beautiful Cayman, like you're just a land-loving dumbass, right? Hey, dude, I can afford this vacation. Can you? Anyway, that's just me feeling personally attacked. So we got on these boats. Now, my 15-year-old son is driving on one. I said, go ahead, man, you can drive. He just loved me for that. He goes, sweet. Dude's got his learner's permit, whatever. You only got to be 12 in Cayman to drive these things. And I'm telling you, he'll do about 50. I mean, I don't know how fast we're going, but we're doing the whole bouncing off the waves thing. Now, if you got your 15-year-old son driving and he is just living in a world of love, and he's just in love, man. So he's hauling ass. And a couple of times we almost lost it because it's kind of skipping from side to side. And when you get into the trough of a wave, you know what I mean? When you get into the trough of that wave and you're kind of like, you can flip it unless you're going across the front of the wave. So in any event, he's hitting these waves at about 50-55, just, I'm in a jump seat in the back. What do you think's happening to my genitals? Every time we, and he can hear me, and he's laughing. I'm going, ow, ow, ah, ow, e. Oh, brother. So we finally went out. Jumped in the water, looked at some stupid fish, then got back into the boat. And to whoever that lady is, if you're within the sound of my voice, you know who you are, who cut us off. You and your brat cut me and my son off, and we dove right into her wake. And I mean, the front of our boat hit a wall of water, and we stopped dead, as God is my witness. We're going about 50, and with here comes this fat blonde, cuts across the front of us. We hit this wake, and I go into a wall of water about 10 feet high, and we stop cold. Just, and I got doused. The camera got wet. Everything was wet. My world was one big wet mess. Whoever you are, lady, and wherever you are, I'm going to find you and get you one of these days. Oh, it was Martha Stewart? All right, never mind. God, I'd love that. And then we turned around and came back, and then there's some old wreck, crap, whatever, we snorkeled it. The snorkeling sucked in Cayman. I don't know why. Well, you don't want to know why? Because of the freaking rain, that's why. And I've been down there in the summertime, it's fantastic. If you like to snorkel, which is just putting on a stupid mask and looking at the fishies, I like to do that. Cayman's the best place on the planet Earth, and then Cozumel's the next, and then the rest of it you can stuff. You can't snorkel out here, forget it. I got people saying, why don't you go to Catalina and do what? What am I doing in Catalina? Look at the little orange fish going around there? Forget it. So it was pretty sweet, but I just thought I'd give you an update on how my my family jewels did. I just wanted to give you a scrotum update today. All right, Phil Henry Show. Don't forget Bobby Dooley coming up with her version of the anti-sodomy law. The anti-sodomy law is being overturned, that is. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.